For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. I'm trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Tuesday afternoon on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080 AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080 AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. If you may or may not have on Team USA taking on Brazil, where Team USA appears, knock on wood, is going to cover.
I'd like to report a murder. It is happening in France right now.
You're up 32 with a minute 40 to go.
Hot damn. United States is rolling right now. But it is Brazil. So it's a round of 16. France beat Canada.
Yeah. And,
actually big for the United
people
States.
People are calling it an upset.
Yeah. Well, I don't see how it is. I don't know. Best player in the world, Victor Wembanyama's on that team. But he got benched.
No, Rudy got benched.
Rudy Gobert got benched.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, because there's conflict in that story. Dun, 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 dun.
Okay.
Because it's Rudy Gobert. I mean, there's always conflict. But we'll keep it on college football right now. You were down at Oregon Ducks Media Day, and you and I have talked about what to get off air, about kind of what to expect with the Ducks. And a name that you've brought up more than a couple times has been Kenyon Sadiq. Oregon's offensive coordinator, Will Stein, also has been talking about Kenyon Sadiq and kind of what you could expect from Kenyon this year.
We want to get him the ball as many ways as we can. And early in camp, we're really just trying to reinstall our base offense. But as we get closer to game weeks, he's a guy that we want a personnel-specific plays for. There's been different guys across the country over the years that have been unique like him. You know, I think about the kid that just got drafted from Georgia that is with the Raiders now. Like, I'm not saying Kenyon is Brock Bowers, okay? He's not there yet, but he has all the skills to be a player similar to him in terms of true tight end play, out of the backfield, flexed. So excited about where he's going. And, I mean, he's had a great summer, great spring.
You know, what's interesting is when it comes to Pac-12 football over the years, there have been some really good tight ends, but I just don't associate the Pac-12 offenses, for whatever reason in my head, with the unique kind of tight ends, even though there have been plenty that have come out of here.
Well, Stanford, Oregon State, and Oregon have all produced quite a few tight ends. And then even Arizona State with guys like Todd Heap. I mean, historically, it's been
a good conference.
Good tight end conference.
And I don't know why it doesn't transfer in my head. Maybe it's just because Iowa just produces so many by themselves.
For sure.
And Miami. I think those are the kind of the two, I think, looked at historically kind of tight end schools. But it's going to be interesting because with Oregon, you have so many weapons that are different from what I think the stereotype of an Oregon weapon has historically been over the last 15 years.
Kenyon Sadiq is just different. Mm-hmm. And look, Will Stein brought up Brock Bowers, and you know, Kenyon Sadiq is not Brock Bowers in some of the measurables there, because you know, Bowers is like 6'4", 240. Mm-hmm. Kenyon Sadiq is probably hovering around like 6'2", probably about 230.
They have him listed as 6'3", 235.
Yeah, I'd say he's probably about 6'2", 230. I mean, he's not going to wow you with his height or his size. But when you look at Kenyon Sadiq, his trunk is huge. His legs are tree trunks.
Just say
he is a strong human being.
Just say it. He's caked up.
Yes, he definitely is. But with the crossover and the translation to Brock Bowers and how you can use Kenyon Sadiq, I mean, this is a guy that last year people were raving about him behind closed doors down in Eugene all throughout training camp and throughout the season. There was the learning curve that comes with college football, and he did still produce at times at Oregon last year. This year during spring, I was saying it during spring ball, the practices that I went to, the scrimmages that I went to, and when you saw him flash it in the spring game, he is a weapon and a playmaker like we have not seen. There was a picture that came out of a scrimmage in the spring where he jumped, like he hurdled a defense back on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
It was in stride, didn't hesitate, just went bloop right over the top. He is a twitchy athlete at 6, and that's where it kind of translates to what Brock Bowers the ability to do is he has the twitchiness to be an explosive playmaker on the outside. You can use him in line as a tight end with the hand in the ground. You're going to use him as a kind of that nub back where you can use him on the end off the ball, kind of in that wing position. Oregon did show it in the spring game a little bit that they're going to go under center at times. And think about where Oregon has kind of been building at this point, where you have Terrence Ferguson, who is the tight end, who rightfully so should get a lot of the eyes and attention in that tight end room. Because I keep going back to that game against Stanford where he went up, high pointed the ball in the end zone. It was just like nobody else making that play. He is a guy that he's tight end one. Then you have Patrick Herbert, who's been a veteran, gone through injuries, who is more of an inline type tight end as well. But then you have the tool guy like Kenyon Sadiq, where 12 and 13 personnel, like Oregon is going to the Big Ten, and you've said this before, like in the trenches is where they've gotten a lot bigger. Well, they're going to be able to flash, we have Big Ten personnel as well, and going 12 and 13 where you have one back and two or three tight ends. That is something they're going to have the ability to do, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see it, and we see it quite a bit.
Get weird. I want to see some flex bone.
The thing about, guys, if you roll out an offense where you have Terrence Ferguson and Kenyon Sadiq on the field at the same time, what are teams going to do personnel-wise? Because you can't afford with those two guys to bring in a heavy personnel, because then what Oregon will do is they will shift out, and then all of a sudden you could have Terrence Ferguson can line up outside, he can line up inside, Sadiq can do the same because of the match of size and speed that those two guys can provide for you. But then if you want to go with your light personnel, you want to stay nickel and you want to have a fifth corner in, well, guess what they're going to do? They're going to put you in a box. They have confidence that both those guys can block. And with a guy like Sadiq, if you have Ferguson as a tight end and behind him as a wing is Kenyon Sadiq, all of a sudden then you have the ability to motion him around. You can create leverage in your offense formationally, but then also handing the ball off to him in a counter, right? Motioning it around in an orbit motion and running an option with him on the outside. These are all things that they could potentially do with a guy like Kenyon Sadiq because he has the pairing of size and speed to go along with it. I've been trying to, I was kind of sprinkling out there, watch Kenyon Sadiq, watch Kenyon Sadiq. We went into media day last Monday, and what he was able to say, what everybody was saying about Kenyon Sadiq was, he's going to be the real deal this year.
Yeah.
Like players weren't hiding behind it anymore. And you hear Will Stein right there. He did make it very clear. I want to make it clear. He is not Brock Bowers yet, but he has the ability to be that kind of weapon
he's not a top 15 draft pick
in a variety of ways where he is in line, in the slot, and as an outside receiver. Kenyon Sadiq is a name that people need to familiarize themselves with if you don't know him already, because he has been making waves at Oregon camp and throughout spring ball and all throughout last season as well. He is going to be a player for them. And look, this is where you sit there and you go, they've built themselves to be one of those teams that contend in a variety of ways with a variety of different teams and styles.
You have to have the ability to change up stylistically. For as much as the Big Ten wants to play in a phone booth, sometimes you need to be able to find that mismatch. And in the NFL, finding that mismatch is a little bit more difficult because you've got the cream of the crop. But guess what? If you get late into a game and all of a sudden you got guys who are tired or guys who are injured or guys who are beat up and you get caught with the wrong personnel out on the field, or you get caught in a late switch or a situation that Oregon schemes up, and all of a sudden Sadiq is stuck on or matched up on an inside linebacker and they put him out, and now you go, have fun. And I think those are the kind of situations, those are the situations when you can find those opportunities that aren't going to be there otherwise.
I do believe that what they're going to try to do with him is, because when he is on the field, you can't go heavy personnel. Mm-hmm. That's where they're creating mismatches.
Yeah.
But I don't think defenses are going to approach him by going, all right, we're going to go heavy personnel here. Because you may have two or even three tight ends if Herbert's on the field as well.
This is where you need those tweener.
You can't have
linebacker safeties.
You can't have a heavy personnel on the field because all three of those guys can split out and be effective receivers as well. And that's a terrifying prospect. And I think that's the thing I'm most excited about with this Oregon offense is you have blended size and speed in your recruiting, where you have physicality with receivers like Gary Bryant Jr., like Jurion Dickey, Kyler Casper, Treshawn Holden. Those are the more physical style receivers that you will see. But you have speed receivers like Evan Stewart, Tez Johnson, to where whatever matchup the game will dictate, you can play alongside that. You can play in a phone booth. You can spread out and run. No matter the matchup that you will have, Oregon has kind of built this offense to be malleable to whatever the game will dictate. And I think that every team in the country, you want to dictate pace, you want to dictate style of play, but sometimes you just, whether it's weather, sometimes you get dinged up, you've got to be able to pivot and pivot in a hurry. And we saw this with the Oregon teams of the past. Where would they have troubles? Against the Stanfords and Utah. They could play with USC. Mm-hmm. They could play any time a type of speed football, but it was, where's that curveball going to be thrown? And like a lot of those Arizona State teams and Arizona teams that gave Oregon problems when they go down to the desert late in the year, it was because they would play a more physical brand of football that Oregon wasn't quite ready for at that time of the year. They have the ability now to transition in and out of finesse and physicality. And Kenyon Sadiq's going to be a big part of
that. They can play in the track meets and they can play in the mud. And that's the thing. In the Big Ten, to me, as much as everybody has talked about Oregon, Washington, USC needing to adjust, I'm really interested to see how the Big Ten adjusts to them, particularly early in the season before the weather gets sideways, to dealing with speed on the edges.
Yeah, I think that Ohio State and Michigan, they're all going through that same thing with those two programs. Mm-hmm. I think it's very similar to Ohio State and Michigan and the issues that they give. So they've been trying to figure that out for a couple of years now. But I'm with you. I think like the Illinois and Purdue's are just going to be like, okay. But so is UCLA.
Yeah.
I mean, UCLA, they're going to be doing the exact same thing, going like, oh, I have no idea what's going
to
happen.
Bartu was not too kind to them yesterday.
Yeah. Another guy that I've been praising for a while, and I'm glad that he got a little love from Junior Adams the other day when Junior Adams, wide receivers coach, had his press availability. Justice Lowe, product out of Westview High School, mm-hmm. who's down there. Lake Oswego, I think is where Justice went to. He's a guy that he's gonna find his way on the field. He's just a sophomore, but a redshirt sophomore this year. He is, between the ears, he's one of those heady receivers that is, everything's kind of starting to slow down for him. And I was glad to hear Junior Adams talking about Justice Lowe the other day. And that goes back to, I said this before camp as we were talking over the summer, Oregon is 8 or 9 deep with pass catchers this year. Mm-hmm. And that
is maybe the first time ever.
Well, that is the first time ever, but there's very few programs that around ever the country that you can sit there and you can say, we have 8 or 9 guys we feel confident can go out there and give us snaps. And again, it's the variety that you have with those eight or nine.
Yeah.
They're not going to be, all of them aren't going to be useful week in and week out, but you have the ability to match up with whatever's being thrown at you.
And it's again, it's the styles make fights. All right, coming up next, Jim Harbaugh has a boy, word salad. This might be his best ever. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
The Harbaugh family is, they're really good at saying nothing.
Oh, I love them. I love all of them. They're all lunatics, but I love them. Jack, John, Jim. Jim's herd of children. You know, he has like 7 kids.
And they all start with J, right?
Do they?
I thought they did.
I don't think the daughter does.
You sure?
He records their conversations in the car, though. I do know that.
What do you mean by that?
He said that he records his conversations with his family members in the car so that he can look back on them for wisdom.
Oh, actually, that's a really good idea. That is a really good idea. Some of the things your kids say in a car are absolutely wild, but some of them are profound in... You
like toilet thoughts?
Yeah, dude. Like you get some pretty wild things that come out of kids' mouths. I mean, I was just telling you about my son, who's like a Ricky Bobby Kenny Powers mix yesterday, and that's not in a car. You should hear about his car thoughts. I mean, it's really wild when you're on a trip somewhere or it's absolutely hands down the best is getting your kids' thoughts like to and from a. Like an event, whether it's like a sporting event or like they're doing a play or dance recital or whatever it is, because you get like nervous energy kid and they don't know what to do with it and how to process it. And you're just like, oh boy. All right. Don't know how we got there, but all right, let's go. I might want to start recording the car conversations. That's actually a good idea by Jim Harbaugh.
A little criminal evidence for later in life.
A little crazy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, I think that's where we are. If you're wondering what we're talking about, Jim Harbaugh, as it pertains to the potential scandal with sign stealing at University of Michigan involving Connor Stallions and basically everyone's staff, he was asked about it at a press conference after practice for the Chargers, and this is truly incredible stuff.
Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations. So for me, it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Whatever this man has, he's going to take to the grave with him. He was one of the guys that he's facing, according to the preliminary notice of allegations that Pete Thamel and Dan Murphy got from ESPN. He is facing level one allegations because he just said, I'm not complying with anything. Like Sharon Moore, they got his phone and they found 52 text messages that his offensive coordinator and close confidant had with Connor Stallions, and there was nothing there. Like, Harbaugh's trying to tell us there's nothing there between Sharon Moore, who deleted 52 texts between he and Connor Stallions, and Jim Harbaugh. Like, there was nothing that was communicated. I find that very hard to believe. But at the same time, Harbaugh
also... Nothing to see here.
I could also... We know enough about Jim Harbaugh now. Would you put it past Jim Harbaugh to when he has his staff meeting at the beginning of the year, he's sitting down with his guys saying, there are things that I don't want to know, and there are things that I do want to
know. Going full presidential?
You have got to be smart enough to know what I should and should not know.
It's not impossible to believe because...
Not one bit.
Despite what we just heard, he's not a dummy.
Nope. Well, he's not. And that right there, like the beginning of that statement was he said something about like, you know, when you do wrong...
Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson. Yeah, that's how he opened that up.
And he also said that when you slip up, if you stumble, you apologize
and you make it right.
And you make it right.
And that led into today, I do not apologize.
He is saying, I knew nothing. He's going to take it to his grave. Harbaugh's a ride or die, and I love that about him.
Mm-hmm.
he's not going to rat anybody out.
But he also could be, he may know of something that existed.
Sure.
But he does not have the potential or ability to qualify that.
Well, and right now, as it sits, there is not a belief that the NCAA will vacate any wins. But if Harbaugh now opens himself up and says, yeah, my bad, he has not cooperated with the investigation at all to this point, which is why he got suspended during the season, which is why he's facing level one allegations from the NCAA and level one infractions. And if all of a sudden he changes course, that's the worst thing that he could do, because then that
you've dug the hole so deep now, you can't change that.
That puts everything back on the table. I'm never going to expect Jim Harbaugh to apologize, no matter what comes out from here on out, because he has taken the stance of, I'm not at any point moving forward, I can't put myself into this. He's going to play dumb forever on all of this because
this is Reggie playing dumb with the Heisman stuff the entire time. That's what this is.
What do you mean by Reggie playing dumb with the Heisman stuff?
With Reggie always said no, never took anything until the very end.
Oh, yeah. And, well, yeah. He with the Heisman and everything that went.
All of his. Yeah.
He's with USC.
He went down that path for 20 years of I did nothing wrong.
Yeah, well, we all knew he did. But that's what I'm saying with Harbaugh.
Like, he's so far down that path now where it's
can't
like.
Can't do it.
Nope.
Can't do it. I love it.
Just throw your hands up and call it good.
You stumble. Sometimes you stumble and you apologize. Say, my bad. Today, I'm not doing. There's never going to be a day when he does. And look, people are going to keep on harassing him about this. You're not going to get a different response from him. Just like, you know, he said it on the first day of training camp when he went down his injury thing. Like, he said, guys, I don't talk about injuries. I'm not qualified to talk about injuries. I won't talk
about
injuries.
That speech that he gave was worse than this.
It was, right?
I'm not a doctor. No, Jim, but you talk to the doctors.
Yeah.
What did the doctors say?
But you know what? He's not going to get off that. He will never move off of that. No. And this exact same thing right here. Yeah. They're going to learn, no matter what you ask him, he's just going to shoot it down and he's not going to talk about it. And look, Harbaugh, I would love him to be my football coach. And I would love for him to be my friend, because he's never going to sell you up the river.
I said it when he left Michigan. I'm like, I'd take him in with the Raiders right now.
I think anybody should and would.
Right now.
Yeah.
And I don't care if he's one of those guys who has a short shelf life, 6-7 years, 8 at max. In those 8 years, you're going to get real good.
God, he is.
Real fast.
He is something else. He is so different.
He is.
He's a different bird.
Look, that's what sets him apart.
Love him.
Everybody knows he's full of crap with that stuff, but you know that he himself is not full of it. That he believes what he preaches and everything kind of goes along with it. It's a very strange, unique, weird situation.
I bet if you were to give him like a lie detector test, it would never move. No, it wouldn't. They'd be like, we don't know if he's lying or not. Yeah. We have no clue. It's just always, he probably believes it. If you believe it, it's not a lie.
100%.
Costanza. He's going the Costanza route.
You're not wrong. All right, today is August 6th. Do you know what that means?
No.
Well, I'll give you an update on why today is such an important day for the NBA. Coming up next. But first, here's Big Will Betts with the Sports Center update.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
The biggest name on the NBA trademark is not Portland Trailblazers wing Jeremy Grant. It is Utah Jazz forward Lauri Markkanen. Today, August 6th, is the first day that he is set to be eligible for a new contract that is worth up to an over $200 million in a five-year deal.
All right. Good money, dude.
Why is today important? Well, today, number one, is the first day he can sign it.
Today is also Jeff Rust's birthday.
Hey!
That's what is important.
Happy birthday, Jeff Rust.
Happy
oh,
birthday.
Jeez.
I texted Rust, and he is spending his day at the DMV getting his new license, which is like, that's what old people do when you have your birthday.
Because it expires that day.
It expires that
day.
My
man waited till the last minute.
Yeah, I'd never do that.
No.
That's awful. Happy birthday, Rust.
Happy birthday, Rust. But as it pertains to Lauri Markkanen, if he does not sign the deal today, he cannot be traded this year. Why? Because he would need at least 6 months from the day to be eligible to be traded. 6 months from today is the NBA trade deadline.
So if he waits for tomorrow to sign it, he cannot be traded at all.
Legally cannot be traded. So what he essentially does is he gives himself a 1 year no trade clause.
Why? Okay. Here's my thing about Lauri Markkanen. Why does Lauri Markkanen want to be a member of the Utah Jazz?
He likes Utah. And it's here's the thing.
Reminds him of home. Finland.
You're not wrong. It's culturally better for him than other places. That's he just had a couple kids, so he's not in the hurry to move. And this is the stuff that doesn't really get talked about all that often, is the effect of, for players, for families. Like, it was like, oh, the Blazers need to trade Anthony Simons. Ant just had a baby in February. Jeremy just had a kid last year, and he has another one on the way.
Yeah.
Guys don't want to uproot their families, particularly when they're very young, because it's a pain in the ass.
It is.
It doesn't matter how much money you have.
Yep.
Because while the player can go move, mom and the kid, they aren't just going to go get away from their support systems. They're probably going to go stay with mom or dad or somebody else and come visit. That's a pain. That's tough on a family.
That's fascinating. So they have agreed to all of the terms. So if you've seen that, they've agreed to the terms. He's not going to sign it until tomorrow or even later, because they've agreed to it. Yeah. Signed, sealed, delivered.
Which is interesting because Tim Kawakami said he didn't believe that Lowry was going to sign the deal because the Jazz would change the deal on him. Tim's been kind of pushing for the Warriors have this great grand package that they've offered to trade for Lauri Markkanen. They haven't. They haven't given in to everything that.
Then why wouldn't the Jazz want that great grand trade package?
Yeah, if they put all of the picks on there and Pajimski and everything made sense, and they didn't have to take Andrew Wiggins, then yeah, why wouldn't the Jazz do that?
They would definitely do that.
And that's the point. They haven't made it all available.
I think one thing we know about Danny Ainge is that if there is a great deal on the table, he'll take it and won't care.
Yeah. And the thing is, they like having Lowry. He's a good player. He's really good. You don't have to go, he's a near all-star. He's an actual all-star.
Yeah. And he's only 27 years old.
Yeah, he's so this whole idea of like, they have to get rid of him. It's like, no, it's entirely fine to have him on that team. Now, does it become a bit of an issue? And maybe you have to Jeremy Grant him in the sense of shutting him down at the end of the year to try to land the great white hope Cooper Flagg? Yeah. Yeah, it's something you juggle. But what's interesting is, as it relates to Portland, once the marketing deal, the clock gets past today, Lowry can't be traded. Guess who the next best prospect on the market is?
Jeremy Grant.
And how many teams pivot to Jeremy Grant?
Probably quite a few, and I bet they're already doing it right now because all the indications are he's not going to sign it, and everybody knows it. If it's out here now, it's been behind the scenes for the last 48 hours at least.
So, now, does it mean there's anything imminent with Jeremy? No, absolutely not. I have not heard anything to go down that path.
Well, I think the one thing that we did hear is from an anonymous scout. An anonymous scout.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing. For as much as the Jeremy's not worth two first-round picks, he's overpaid, he's not that good, he's injury-prone, yet multiple teams are going to be interested in him.
Yeah.
I feel like that keeps the market up. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. I was right all last summer. So.
All right.
Going off of a little bit of a whim of where things currently sit in the – I mean, again, this doesn't mean that the Trailblazers are going to make a deal with Jeremy Grant and trade him before the season. But this does solidify one position. So if you are going to make a move, the next guy on that list is Jeremy Grant.
All right.
So,
who is currently the 13th highest paid forward and 44th highest paid player in the NBA. And in 2 years, his deal will be, I think we both agree, he won't be a top 60 paid player in the NBA in 2 years. Jeremy Grant?
No, not a chance.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
And so that all of a sudden becomes far more attractive to a team that will have him for at least, Jeremy Grant, if you count this season, 3 years, and then a player option for that fourth year down the road. But you at least will have him for, even if you go through this entire season or trade deadline, it's 2.5 years at the trade deadline, you know you have Grant under contract, or if you go through this year, you know you have him for at least two, and then that player option for a third year.
So it's all an interesting spot to be for the next month or so.
Whoa, Nelly.
All right, coming up next, the White Sox did it! Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, they did it.
Ooh, what do we got? Covered?
The Chicago White Sox have lost 21 in a row.
Hey.
They will not be outdone. They will suck the most.
They have equaled the 1988 Baltimore Orioles for the longest American League losing streak in the league's history.
They're going for that 1889 record.
They are only two off from the 1963 Philadelphia Phillies.
The modern day record.
23 consecutive losses. And but look, we're also banking on the Oakland A's to muster up the courage to sweep the White Sox.
I mean,
again, they're now, what, 22-16 against teams under 500 this year, the A's are. I don't know if, when's the last time they had a sweep? They had three consecutive wins against the Angels, but it was a four-game series, did not complete the sweep, and that was at the end of July, so that's it. Encouraging.
Sure.
You have a sweep of the Pirates. Oh, no. A sweep of the Angels early July is the last time. Maybe they got it in them. They have two sweeps this season of the Pirates and the Angels.
Bad teams, but, you know.
Hey, we'll take
still sweeps.
It. I think they're going to do it.
Here's a crazy number. The Chicago White Sox, when trailing, heading into the seventh inning, are 0-56.
Oh, dear Lord. In the
After the sixth inning, so going into the seventh, so with the seventh, eighth, and ninth, a third of the game remaining, they're trailing, not by 1-10, trailing at all. They are 0-56.
Oh, dear Lord. All right, so if you're looking for the pitching matchup tonight, Chicago in Oakland, you got Ross Stripling, who's 1-5 on the year with a 5.9 ERA at home. On the road, you have Jonathan Cannon, who is 0-4 on the road with a 5.67 ERA. Take the over. And this is a crapshoot game. You got a 1-5 pitcher at home going up against an 0-4 pitcher on the road. Both of them have an ERA north of 5.75. Look, this is going to be a turd fest.
Good God.
This is going to be a turd fest.
What's the combined runs in this? It's got to be 8, right?
I would imagine. Well, but
man, the offenses suck though.
No, the White Sox can't score runs.
God, you know that makes this actually kind of interesting.
They can't hit.
Pitching that's putrid versus hitting that's worse. Which way do the books go?
Yeah,
I'm actually very interested. I have genuine interest in this solely because of how inept these teams are.
I'm looking up my over-under here on this game. It's going to be low on here.
It's going to be the very bottom.
You've got the over-under set at 8.5 runs. You got the A's at minus 205.
I mean, I said 8.
I'm going to go the over. I think I'm going over in this one. I think I'm... Last night, 5-1 decision. A's won. If you want to know, the White Sox have allowed 5... 13, 6, 10, 10, 4, 8 runs in their last two series.
Good God. How low in there is 4?
The Mariners in a 3-game set scored 22 runs.
The Mariners.
Of Seattle.
Who can't hit.
Yeah, the ones up in Seattle. They did that. I'm going over. I'm going the over.
You're pushing send on that, aren't you?
Yeah, I just did.
I don't.
We're there.
We doing this together?
Done. Will, you in?
Sure, I'll put money in.
All right, let's go.
I'll take it. For entertainment purposes only.
We're in. I'm going the over. I'm going the over. A's, White Sox, 8.5. You got two pitchers that can't keep the ball in the park. I'm riding with it. We did it. Let's go. I'm not taking the A's to win it, though. Because this would be the most White Sox thing to do, is to end this 21-game losing streak and score like 8 runs. And then
the over?
Yeah. And then they're not going to score again for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
They'll score like 2 runs in the next 6 games, and that will be it for the White Sox. They're going to use their run quota up very early. I know this. This is what bad teams do. You have one game where you're like, we can't be the sole owners of the worst losing streak in American League history. We got to end this thing with the tie. Have a little pride, huh?
No, I don't think the pride's involved here.
I think they have no pride.
Yeah, I think that's probably what Ozzie Guillen was talking about.
21 in a row.
Yeesh.
Yikes. 22 is a good number.
That's though. A stanky, stanky thing to be tagged with.
Yeah, but you have Jerry Reinsdorf, you own it. I think that it shouldn't be attached to the players in this case. This should be attached to ownership. We're going to give this solely to ownership.
Oh, yeah.
This is a Jerry Reinsdorf
record. Held by Jerry Reinsdorf. You know what? If we start tying bad records to owners, I bet you they'd start cleaning some stuff up.
Yeah.
He's sneaky a horrible owner, too.
It's not sneaky? Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about with the Bulls as well.
No, no.
It's bad.
Buddy, outside of Jordan there, it's a disaster.
Who?
We could spend an entire hour talking about how terrible he is.
Man. Yeah, great. Great point on the Vancouver Ford text line. 8.5 over under on the fans at the game as well.
We can get Will there for under 100 bucks.
All right, coming up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Prime time with Isaac Gatsuk. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. See you Wednesday, noon to 3.
Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.